Jackie's man, he's winning plenty, man. He got more medals than an Olympian China man. We've beaten Kerry man, we've beaten Derry man, we've beaten anyone we're meeting in the final, man. His destiny is not just written in the sand. He got a plan, he's no lucky, lucky man. Oh, Jimmy's winning matches. Jimmy's winning games. Jimmy's bringing Sammy back to Donegal again.
Donegal.
Jimmy's winning
matches. Stuff there, the one and only Rory Geller there. He's back out in Lanzarote. Rory, you're a legend of a man. I'm sure you're rocking the bar last night.
He was rocking it yesterday.
He was rocking it all day yesterday. Hey, he's some spot. Some guy for the tune. I tell you what, it's back in vogue. He's getting a few plays.
Jimmy's winning matches. And Jimmy's winning Ulster titles, Brendan. I don't think when we first started out this year of our campaign, we would have thought we'd be singing that, saying that. But look, you got to believe.
You're not a bad singer, actually.
I'm good, you know.
You could have done it,
you know, the old karaoke and that, you know. But no, it's been practice, you know. It's been sung day yesterday, you know.
The buzz is here, John. Listen, that was Barry Kilfrey. John Gilday, of course, welcome to the show. How are you, boy?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you?
Big BBC man. Now you're traveling on the local radio station.
Jonathan
again.
From the BBC.
Oh, yeah. Talking proper.
You can see
proper
he got
English.
He got the hair done as well, you see, you know, the flick and everything, you know.
Yes. He probably has little makeup in the background, a bit of a stylist.
My Sharon would wish so. Yeah. But no, unfortunately not. This is as good as it gets.
Oh, listen, it ain't bad, dude. You know, that's, of course, Barry Gilfrey, John Gilday. Brilliant to have you in here. Folks, that was Ivan Borland there on the Power Hour Plus that took us in this evening, the legendary Ivan Borland. Of course, Joe Dex is here producing, as ever. I want to thank Donald Kavanagh for the news. Coming up later on the show, I will speak with a former Armagh star, Barry O'Hagan, and Carol Kane of the Irish News. We delve into this epic, epic game from yesterday, as we're going to now, which is interesting to get the neutral view and the Armagh view, but this view is all Donegal. It's Donegal, Donegal. I mean, what a night. The scenes pre-match, the match, I mean, it was one of the best Ulster finals I've ever seen. It had everything in it. Some of the people I met, I just want to say hello to Carol and Hannah McCann. I met them after the game yesterday. They listen regular to the show. We had great old crack outside the players' dressing room there. There was so much buzz about. Shout out to Sean McEwen chatting to him earlier today. Listening out in Chicago. Just a message to Charlie Campbell, of Jack Campbell. A huge Donegal fan, never misses a game. We have to give him a message. He's 75, hard to believe. He doesn't look 75, Bart.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's in good shape.
I'll tell you, good shape. I don't know if it's attending to the sheep or that good wife of his, Moya, or maybe it's his three beautiful daughters. Whatever it is, Charlie, happy birthday to you. Lads, coming to the game. What, you lads, I was saying before, John, I met you on the way down with the kids. There was a big kids' park there. They had a bit of food. They had places designated. There was a big traffic effort in place by the cops here to make sure it didn't. Obviously, it was going to get a certain amount. But, you know, it was so well run, and music playing before the game, the atmosphere. You know, it really was back to, you know, brilliant Ulster final times and a good, like, family element to it.
There was, yeah. No, in fairness to them, they made a really big effort to encourage that family element to it. And I suppose tying into Jim's ethos, it's all about Donegal people and inspiring the next generation and bringing kids that my fellow Tig was up with me. We landed up about 1 o'clock, and just like yourself, you know, it's okay going to watch a match, but you have to experience the whole, you know, atmosphere as well. So we wandered down the town for 2 hours, and like you, met half the world, and you know, met Fred actually, hadn't seen him in years, and loads of people like that. But the place was buzzing. There was an electricity in the air down the town that you knew something was going to happen. Yeah. Now,
day and all that.
The sun was shining, people were in good form, and then there was thunderstorms out the road, and there was all sorts of crazy things going on, and it just built and built and built. And in fairness to the Armagh crowd, they come in big numbers as well. They come in big colours, big bold orange colours. So, and with the green and gold at Donegal, it was a very vibrant atmosphere, and the spirits were high. Everybody was looking forward to, well, not so much a great match, because I suppose the anticipation was that it would be a dour enough affair. So maybe people were making the most of the pre-match because they thought, we're going to sit in here through 70 minutes of absolute dire football. But ultimately what happened was the match mirrored the atmosphere before the game. There was an electricity and an excitement from the first minute. Yeah. There were some wonderful scores. It went from end to end. I think they were level at 8 or 9 times. And the tightness of the game was what everybody expected. but the standard of play, dry ball, you're bouncing around the place, you know, you didn't need the gloves, it's easier kicking, and then all of a sudden this torrential downpour for 10 minutes and just changes the whole dynamic. And then the football came back into that after 10 minutes the second half again. But an amazing, it was an amazing match. But what I would say, even over and above that, it was an amazing experience and an amazing event. And I, speaking to everybody, they were just totally absorbed. And I'll give you one small anecdotal story. I was in Dunn's today, met a woman. She couldn't go to the match. She planned the dinner, put the roast on, was so excited, forgot the dinner, fire alarm went off, dinner ruined, but she didn't care because we won. Yeah. And that was the same worldwide, and particularly when from those people lucky enough to be in Clonus.
Yeah, good man, good man. Nobody had the roast on down your way, Park.
The dinner was on, all right, you know, we didn't burn it, we made sure we got it. So, no, as John was saying, an absolutely spectacular. And that's why Jim is so passionate about the Ulster Championship. And look, it's the provincials is alive and kicking, and after yesterday's game had absolutely everything from start to stop. You know, the atmosphere alone, as John has indicated, you know, the Armagh supporters bring it, but so the Donegal supporters were there as well.
Yeah, there's something about the colours that get me, John. It looks like there's more, doesn't there, the way it stands out. Yeah.
But even the week beforehand, I think on the Monday night when we were doing up for the match, and just trying to get tickets, that buzz was back, trying to get, some people were disappointed, didn't get tickets, you know, even from Armagh, from Donegal, but just that whole, suppose excitement of, are you going to get one or you not? And look, it's great when you get one and you won, but
listen, you know, when it's settling, you know, I was just thinking about like how desperate we were for a title back in the day, and a lot of people's putting out a mask. Some of the players are, you know, could be the last throw of the dice for them. They seem to be getting better every game, or better every year at least, and then there was so much put into this game, but you know, there wasn't much in it. You know, penalties when it comes down to it, John. But like that's if Donegal lost that game, you know, Jim's first year, we regroup, we go into the group. For Armagh, it's going to be a serious, tough regroup, you know. And like being up there was a serious buzz about there. I was up there on Friday for a bit of a promotion for their training fund and that. And, you know, they seen this as an opportunity to really take the next step, not just as like being Ulster champions, but it was as if their whole GAA, you know, their trajectory was based around a big title, you know. So it's some hammer blow to them.
No, it's huge, you know, but I think expectation doesn't necessarily become reality. You know, Jimmy White played in 6 World Championship snooker finals and lost all 6. Just because you've had a heartbreak before doesn't mean that you're going to get a fairy tale the following year. Like, you and I played for years and years and years. I lost 4 Ulster finals, a couple of them to Armagh. And, you know, that's just reality. Sometimes you don't get the fairy tale ending.
There's no sympathy there.
And they really hurt. They really hurt. And like, you know, some people were feeling bad for Armagh yesterday. Personally, I wasn't one of them because I hate the sight of them. But you know, but I can still go to it and go, listen, I can understand it's heartbreaking. But if you looked at it, and if you maybe just take a step back and looked at it from a purely neutral perspective, for me, this was a game that Armagh lost as opposed to Donegal won.
Yeah, you know,
with 4 points up, with 17 minutes to go, Armagh didn't score again, right? And they seemed to just to take their foot back off the gas, and it was a case of, well, maybe we have our work done now. And maybe they tightened up from all the baggage that they had in the past. But
I was saying that, John, that there's not all teams drop back, you know, at that stage.
But they had their foot on our throat at that stage.
Yeah.
Another score and we were gone. Yeah. Like, you know, I know it's great, and Niall O'Donnell really grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck around that time, kicked a couple of wonder scores. Big Langdon kicked a score as well. So it was, but the game turned McBrady. But the game turned around that time. They started doing things that they weren't doing, because for that first 15 minutes of that second half, we were blown away. We came out of with the ball 5 times on attack, and they turned us over 5 out of 5. And the whole energy in the ground changed. You could feel Armagh were starting to believe on the stands. They were cheering. Everything was go, go, go. And then all of a sudden, they 1 or 2 mistakes. Macken got turned over by McHugh. We kicked 1 or 2 scores. All of a sudden, we're back in the game. And you could nearly feel the doubt creeping into their mind. And I think that was typified at the end of the game with 40 seconds to go. Charlie Ogburn had a mark inside our 45, 37, 38 metres from goals on his kick inside. And he turned around and looked at the line to see what he should do. And you know, I can imagine back in the day, if you hit a ball 35 yards from goals, you wouldn't be turning around looking at Mickey Moore or making an effort or wonder to see should you kick the ball. And they seem to just not have that freedom to go and win it when it really mattered. And on the flip side of that, then
Campbell as well.
Same thing on the far side. And then they give Donegal an opportunity and they hung in and then they grabbed it with both hands. And then penalties are penalties, they're a lottery.
And they had a chance at the end, right at the end, a free out in the far right hand side to put that over the bar. And, you know, it just, it didn't catch it properly. You know, the one probably a wee bit of a, maybe might have caught it a wee bit, you know. But
is that the Kelly mark now?
Yeah.
Listen, I hardly know what to do with them, and Mark's played such a part in it. After the game, I just want to play a quick interview here. I caught a wee chat to our captain, Paddy McBeardy, and Sean Patton. I don't know who's on first, but we'll let it roll here. Here was Sean Patton, penalty hero. Before we even get there, Sean, another clean sheet, a tense, tense affair. We looked dead and buried a few times, but we come back to snatch the draw.
Yeah, listen, come here. At the end of the day, in finals, results is all that matters, but fair play to Armagh. It was a serious battle, and they put up a serious game. They pulled 4 points ahead at one stage, and you know yourselves in Ulster games, it's hard to pull them leads back, but unbelievable performance from the boys out the pitch.
Yeah,
and pulling that back and sticking to the game plan and just working our way through it.
And Sean, obviously you have the bird's eye view of our defence. We didn't seem to be getting the turnovers that they were at the other end of the pitch. Was there a fear that Armagh got under their groove in that game and we were chasing them in many ways, not able to stop the attacks? They were getting turnovers at one side and they seemed to be breaking through our lines at the other.
Yeah, listen, come here, when you look back at the game, when you're in the midst of the game, sometimes it's hard to pick up on certain things, but I don't think we're going to be too happy with our defensive performance today, to be 100% honest. But again, that's something to look back on another day. Getting the result was the main one for us today, but again, defensively, it's something we need to look at. They seem to score a wee bit easier than we could score against them, so it's something that we'll have to double down on and look at. And again, just moving forward into the group stages now, it's a quick turnaround, so we'll have to change our focus straight away. That we'll enjoy it tonight and we'll enjoy the celebrations, but again, with this split season, the games come thick and fast, so we need to get the heads down and get working towards the Tyrone game.
Yeah, and just take us into the mindset of the penalties. You know, people talk about sometimes as the best place to be a goalkeeper. You know, you just were waiting for that one poorly hit strike, Sean. You nearly got the one previous to it, and then the moment came.
Yeah, well, listen, come here. The pressure's not on the goalkeepers. The pressure's on the forwards to score there. You're not expected to save too many. And, you know, probably was very disappointed with their fifth penalty. Probably should have saved it, you know. And on another day, you do save that, and the game's dead and buried there. But thankfully, the next one paid off. The next one was the one I saved, thankfully. Because if we had lost the game from the one that went underneath me, I don't think I would have been sleeping too easily for the next couple of weeks. But thankfully, all that matters is we won, and fair play to the boys. The composure they showed throughout the whole game and on the penalties, it was absolutely fantastic.
And were the hitting penalties on your training? Was that something?
No, it's not something we worked too much on, to be honest. Hey, I was unbelievably impressed how composed the lads were. They were slotting them in the bottom corner, left, right and centre. It was unbelievable. And Blaine Hughes is a great goalkeeper. He's a hard goalkeeper to beat. He saved the penalty against Farra up in Armagh early in the year, but thankfully we came out on the right side of it today.
Patrick, you've been there and seen it all. Absolutely loved your speech there. The passion, you know, to come back. What an Ulster final. You've been in so many. Where does that rank?
Listen, that's up at the top, I suppose, where we came from. And people doubting us and everything, you know. And I suppose the stage I'm at in my career as well, you know. You just have to really, really enjoy these days. And, you know, it'll take a day or two. But, you know, memories for life.
Yeah, and Patrick, of course, you were going to be brought in, always coming in for the vital moments in the game when the chips was going to be down. What was it like watching on there, the stomach churning stuff, to the possessions and the to and fro of the game when you're waiting to come in?
I thought we attacked really well in the first half, you know. I think we had 9 points on the board half time. And I think it was just a couple of defensive things that were letting us down. That really, they got 10 points in the first half, which we wouldn't be happy about. But yes, and the boys dug in. We didn't panic. It was the most important thing. And when they went four up, we kind of turned the ship there, and we got back level, thank God. And you know, we're just delighted. Hey, you need luck, but we got it today.
Yeah,
as well.
And there's some belief there. With the three down to Tyrone, four down today, somehow somebody steps up. You know, there's so many players can step up, and a bit of magic. It was Niall probably, when we were the four down, got the 2 points, kind of hauled us back into it.
Aye, listen, we've good players. I think all very, very good players all over the place. And if you try and man double up on one man, you're leaving a good player free. And you know, Farah had a very, very good first half, and I'd say they're talking half time was talking about Farah. And you know, kind of made space for other people.
And you popped up a violent score yourself, Patrick. When you come on, you were kind of out around the periphery of the attack. You were kind of playmaking, and then you got inside for a vital point as well, because every score at that stage, but it was giving us that wee bit of belief to come back into the game.
Yeah, I think that was the last point we got. I think that was the equalising score, I think. I think that was 5 minutes to go. But I think teams then, no team wanted to take a risk. They could go wide, and listen, it's small margins. It's really, really small margins. Jack McKelvey's point crept into the post there, and you know, it's just small margins.
Yeah, I know Doherty's magic strike, a game without saying about. Some execution of points here today, Patrick, top drawer. As I say, Dara coming on a wheel, coming back on the pitch, has point on the right hand side. So, you know, you talk about teams and squads, it's just throughout the team.
Listen, top lads. It's actually funny with Owen Doherty. I saw him winding up, and I had a conversation with him in training 2 weeks ago. I said, you know, you need to stop kicking the outside of your foot. You know, that's an inside of the kick. That's an inside of the foot kick. And he didn't listen to me, obviously. But I was sitting on the bench, and I just saw this man winding up with the outside of the boot. And what a score. What a score.
Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, my Bertie Ward and Owen Doherty, just stop taking outside the boot.
And I wouldn't mind, but Owen has hit that shot about 10 times in the last 5 years, and they all go over the bar.
He's like, top class.
Phenomenal.
He slices it, like he did it in the county final last year, I think, one or twice as well. It's his go-to kick coming in from that left wing.
Brilliant.
But a lot of bottle to take it on. You know, you compare that to our boy, our mab guy's going, should we kick this or should we not?
Yeah.
He caught the ball, he had a mark, he didn't bother, he bounced and he sliced it over.
Because in many ways, it's good. When you settle that down, if you're not a place kicker, you know, while pressure comes on you, it's about your technique. We've seen the talks about how players go through the same rhythm, you know, with the shoulder. You know, you have to line up properly. So if you're hitting the mark like a shot then, it's not like an organic type shot then. And then the pressure starts to come on you. So I think you did right there, John. You know, looking, obviously, you know Doherty well. You played under Jim. You know, just talking about, obviously, Luke Barrett's in there, Neil, and Colm Anton's in there as well. It's a real family affair, but just that magic that seems to be there. Like, you were under Jim as a manager. Was that part of, even then, from the early days at Leave Connell, could you see what happens now in the dressing from those times?
You have, like, first and foremost, Jim's building blocks are an unbelievable eye for detail and professionalism in organisation. Nothing is left to chance. It's a, like, they will have the best nutrition, the best training facilities, the best gear, whatever it is. And that builds this level of confidence within player, because if we've been treated like this, then we deserve to be treated like this. And then you have Jim constantly, you know, hammered into you, we're going to do this. And then you beat Derry, and like, you're going back to training on the Tuesday night, and you're going, well, this man told us we're going to beat Derry and we can do anything.
And told all the tactics.
Exactly, and it worked perfectly. And he did the same thing, and it's even more powerful this time around, because when he was in 2011, he was dealing with some of the boys that had been around a while. You know, the McGees and the Cavanaghs and the Casties. And you've
heard, wee bit awkward to deal
the
with
rascals.
But
as you get older, you get a bit more cynical. Like, it's a case of like, oh, here we go again.
But in many ways, John, I think they were ready for that challenge.
But they were,
because they had been on the side of it where they knew they had to, like, not as much maybe as some of those Armagh players, but you know, if we're going to do it, now's the time.
Oh no, absolutely. And he has an amazing ability to get the absolute best of everybody. And going back to 2005, and I love bringing it up when I'm talking to
you. Man, I don't know. Why did I bring that?
Hold a special.
I'll keep going. Place there, John. Keep going.
But you know, we obviously played Unions in the first game and we drew, and that was our chance gone, because you guys were the big guns and we were a small club coming from Division Two. And I remember going down on the Tuesday night to training, and I was, I think, 36, 37 at the time, and I wasn't wrecked because I'd spent the day getting beat up by you guys.
Shane O'Donnell, was it?
Shane O'Donnell that day. Mistake number one in the second game.
Yeah, well, I know. But
I was sore, and you know, as an older player, you've been down that road before, and you think, you don't want to say it, but you think to yourself, well, we did miss our chance. You get one chance at the big guys, and you go, and we started the train, and this kind of sums Jim up. By the end of that training session, and I don't know what he did, but by the end of that training session, I was 100% convinced that you guys, we were going to beat you again, easily, and I didn't have any aches and pains. And Jesus, I have no idea what went on. And so multiply that now, he's 25 years nearly further on, he's honed his skill set, but from a psychological point of view, I can only imagine how wonderful it is to be in that setup with that togetherness and everything else.
The Midas touch. Make you want to play again, Parry?
I get hamstrings right there, you know. But I think it is, when you're chatting about those shots that the lads are taking on, you know, it's absolute belief that he trusts them, and that, you know, they've been playing football all their life. He trusts them on the pitch. But as a young player coming into a squad like that, it must be phenomenal. Like, you know, Jim McGuinness is there. He's telling you, you're gonna do this. And as John has rightly said, you go and do it then.
And you what's know, what's the possibilities, you think, this year, pardon now? People talk about year one, are we ready? You know, tough Ulster Championship. Like, nobody's kind of thinking, is there something in Donegal? Obviously, that you're going to need a different tactic at Croke Park, I think, number one, if you met one of the bigger teams.
It's a big question, but you wouldn't fear any of them. You know, you're going against the Derrys.
Definitely no fear. Cork,
you know, Kerry and Tyrone. You know, Tyrone's a big game for me for the next one, you know. We're at home, and obviously, you can't look too far ahead, but they're in the conversation now of the top four. You know, there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, they've earned their right. Beating Derry was massive. Beating Tyrone next, and then beating Armagh. You know, and like, you can only beat what's in front of you. But in Ulster, it's a serious curtail of games you have to get through to get any credibility. You're looking down the road, and if you're sitting in the Dublin dressing room, you're thinking Donegal's coming, and they're coming with a serious plan here. They've taken out three of the best teams in Ulster, one of them, you know, who's been pipped for an All-Ireland. So, look, they're in the equation now. 9 months ago we weren't. So, you know.
What do you think, John?
Well, I think there's huge similarities to 2011, when, you know, then we went to Dublin and parked the bus, and there was a whole outcry and puke football and everything else was going on up there.
The crowd booed again.
Exactly. Like, you know, so what I would say, like, this is an incredibly exciting time, and it's been an amazing run for the last 8 or 9 months. Mm-hmm. Every target that he has set out, he has achieved. But it's only part of the process, and we need to take that into context. I believe we're ahead of where he actually thought we would be, even though he drilled that into them, that was his whole target was an Ulster title this year, and if he got that, it was a huge bonus, same as in 2011. I think as an outfit, we probably need more conditioning. Those guys will be bigger, fitter, stronger next year. Jim, as he did in 2011 to 2012, will develop the plan even further, because right now he's just doing foundations. Simple stuff, very basic stuff, and we're doing it very well. But Armagh showed that there's holes to be exploited. There's pockets and everything. So, you know, let's enjoy the journey. Whether the journey brings us to Croke Park in a semi-final or a final, or whether we get to a quarter, whatever the journey is, just enjoy it. Because
the journey will be you, chauffeur driven by BBC.
With a big fake tan on you.
Yeah. Highland will have to step up and have to have a conversation. So
you'll have to give McGee the elbow.
So you know, it's great to be excited now. Let's enjoy this for what it is, because, like, Sunday was amazing, but it's only part of the journey. And if we won in Ireland, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we won't.
But I think down the last minute, just go ahead.
But I just think, you know, the buzz is about, back to the county again, the buzz is about the county. The young lads want to see Donegal. And for me, that's a massive achievement straight away. Tyrone, we can't wait till the Tyrone match is going to be.
That bigger picture, John, yeah. That whole feeling. You know, obviously we're coming up shortly, Ciarán Kane and Barry O'Hagan will get into some more tactical side of it. But just from a Donegal point of view, you have such a lift around. I was chatting, Oisin earlier was saying the kids were all wearing the Donegal jerseys, they'd wear them at the school, and you know, it gives such a lift outside of even the game, you know.
Oh no, absolutely. And look, we're surrounded in a world where the only news that's and worthwhile is bad news. You turn on the TV station, you turn on the news stations, it's bad news, it's somebody giving out about this. And for the last couple of months in Donegal, and it's growing week by week, and it's exploded over the last 2 weeks because of the Ulster final, it's all positive. People want to talk to you about football. They want to talk about McGuinness. Everybody wants to be involved in some way, shape or form. And there's nothing but feel good. So this has been incredibly positive, not just from a football perspective, but from a social perspective in Donegal. Yeah. Now, it'll cost us a fortune by the time we finish in summer. But we'll feel good at the end of it.
We'll feel good, lads. Fair play to you, because you've brought a great buzz here tonight, Joe. Thanks as ever. Now I'm going to talk, I talked earlier actually with Ciarán Kean and Barry O'Hagan. That's going to take us to the end of the show, folks. Jimmy and Paul coming on after. But for now, we have four happy Donegal men in there. Looking forward to the next round of group stages of All-Ireland as Ulster champions. Hope you all had a great day yesterday, and let's take it on from here.
Good man, Brent.
Cheers, Brent. Cheers, Brent.
Barry and Ciarán, welcome to the show, lads. Hi, Barry, listen, thanks so much, Ciarán. I know you've been down a lot, quite a few times on the show. As the dust is settling after that epic Ulster final, Barry, just going to yourself, I said to me text this morning about, you know, I guess where my text was coming from around the game, you know, there was nothing in it in terms of, I thought, the whole game, in terms of both sides competing. And I thought probably what you're saying is where Armagh had the lead in terms of maybe blowing a huge opportunity. Before we get to that, Barry, just the occasion going into it and the feeling in Armagh that, you know, after what happened the last number of years and that the team was on upward trajectory, that, you know, this was a final you could definitely win. And the game plan, particularly, I thought, throughout the course of normal time, was working well.
It was, Brenton, I suppose. Yeah, I think within the county, there's a lot of optimism that we would win the game. But I think just anybody that's been involved in the sport at that level in the last number of years, there's a certain amount of apprehension, certainly on my part, just because we have struggled to get over the line in big games. And look, our team in the late 90s, early noughties were no different. You know, we eventually got a bit of success, but we had a lot of hard luck stories, we had a lot of thrashings, one-point defeats. Sometimes it does play on you, and the only way to actually get over that is get over the line. And unfortunately, the lads didn't do that yesterday. I know you'll say penalties and extra time and hard luck and all that, but Donegal are also champions today. I'm absolutely devastated for Geezer, the management team and those players. You know, they've given everything to Armagh. You know, I think there needs to be a bit of realisation from our supporters in terms of where we were 4 or 5 years ago. Even during the COVID year, Donegal thrashed us, you remember, in Breffni Park by, I don't know, whatever number of points. And where we have come from there to be at the top table, you know, we're certainly not in the top four, I don't think, but we're probably around the top six, seven. And in the last 2 years, with a bit of luck, probably could have been Ulster champions twice. But it's a really, really hard one to take, because if you're a Geezer and you've been at it a long time, Kieran McKeever, some of those older lads, Stefan, Falker, Mernon and Grugan, you know, four lads that have been playing the guts of 12, 13, 14 years, you know, there's a strong likelihood them lads mightn't be back next year. So I just feel for them. Stefan in particular would be very friendly with him. He's from my own club and a phenomenal footballer. Looks like he's going to end up without an Ulster medal, which is really, really devastating. So look,
He played his part big time when they needed him. You know, I thought he was brilliant.
He did. He's a very, very good game, and probably he was left out in the Ulster final last year, come on an impact sub, and probably used that wee bit of hurt to try. He put a big shift in defensively as well, but it's like deja vu, Brendan, back, you know, over the last 4 or 5 times over the last 3 years. It's your heart can't but go out to those players and management team, because, you know, I just know, you know, like yourself, I would watch quite a bit of club football around Donegal, Tyrone and Derry. Like, it's fair to say, Armagh club football is a really, really poor standard. And we, not only have we had no success at underage in the last 15 years, we've won very few matches at minor and under 20 level. So that's the context of developing the team to play at the top level, which huge credit to Geezer and his management team, you know. So, but it's still very, very disappointing in terms of how close we were and again, didn't get over the line.
Yeah, and listen, Barry summed it up well there, Cahar, in terms of that overview and all those players. And he mentioned luck in there. You know, you think of the last 2 years there, Cahar, everybody talks about the lottery of penalties. And listen, Armagh definitely improved on penalties, improved on a lot of things. Do you think that, you know, that's why I was kind of, when I was coming to Barry when I messaged him this morning, you know, I thought that they did so many things right in the game before we get to that end point, you know, I mean, even in the first half, I thought the occasion was unreal, Cahar. I think it was going to be very cagey. And then we had this, you know, the game was lit up with unbelievable scores all over the pitch. And I was like, this is phenomenal. I know it went cagey second half, but that first half, Cahar, and the occasion, I mean, it was everything we love about the Ulster Championship and the Ulster Final.
Yeah, it really was. In fairness to the Ulster Council, you'd be critical of them a lot of the time. I thought they got the pitch of everything dead right yesterday. The band, more power to elbow play, and the place was pumping a good hour before the throw-in, and it really felt, it's probably the first time in an Ulster final in a long time, it really felt like a real occasion, like somewhere you had to be. You couldn't miss this thing. And then the game kind of lived up to that. It was funny, like it was 10-9 at half-time. The quality of the score taken on both sides was just off the scale. And Oisin Gallen and Conor Turbitt, particularly some of the points that they kicked. And, you know, it's funny that on a lot of other days, the same game could have been 5-4 at half-time. But the shooting was just so good that it kind of ended up 10-9 at the same stage. But it was like... I know a lot of people expected it to be cagey. I never expected it to be as cagey as a lot of people did. I thought that both teams... it was probably a wee bit more cagey than I actually expected. I expected both teams to go after the kick out a wee bit more often and be even a bit more open again. But back to what Barry was saying, I'm completely on Barry's wavelength in terms of Armagh and McGinney and where they're at. Like, I think Armagh... supporters have lost a wee bit of a run of where they actually are and like the quality of club football, the teams that they're producing at minor and under 20 level, like no Ulster under 20 since 07, no Ulster minor since 09. And the Ulster minor club, they've only had two teams in the final in the last 20 years. You know, like for them to build, and it's taken McGinney all of the last 10 years to build this Armagh team. And it's this idea that, you know, he's had long enough and he hasn't won anything. And I would say to Armagh people, like, if you really want to force Kieran McGinney out the door, have a good think where you'll be in 4 or 5 years' time, because the base, the depth is just not there. And it's remarkable in some ways that Armagh are contesting and are where they are, given the low base of what's around them. So... And they got so much right. Like I was just looking there. Like I know, not all luck, and it's not all. They've made mistakes and they've done things wrong. But it's the maddest statistic that it's over 1,000 days since Armagh were beaten in the championship that wasn't on a penalty shootout. It's 3 years since they lost the championship game that wasn't a penalty shootout. You know, and the margins in that then are just, they're beyond wafer thin. So. You know, but that's from an Armagh perspective. They're not half as far away as some of the negativity around them when they get beat suggests. Now, there's no doubt they have a problem getting over the line in big games, and it is something they're trying and no doubt to fix. But there's just a lot of pessimism and negativity around them. It's probably a wee bit unfair on the whole setup. But from Donegal's point of view, like, I think the biggest thing that they'll have taken out of the last two games is that they were 4 points down yesterday. They were 3 down twice against Tyrone, and they found a way to win both of those games. And I don't think Donegal played particularly well yesterday. I thought Armagh were probably the better team over the whole of it. But Donegal did enough. They kept it, stayed alive, and they found a way to win it. And that's a great sign in itself.
Yeah, but Barry, it's a fascinating story, and you obviously know those players so well, and you know, you're still so invested in it in terms of, you know, your connections to them. And I suppose McGinney obviously had to put him in again this year. Con Leith comes in and he'll go through the league well and they win the Ulster final. As you said, making a case last week, I was up at Newry for a lunch with the whole Armagh crew. It was a fundraiser, and you could make a case for both teams, and that's the way the game panned out. I mean, we're all thinking, we said it many times last week, it could very easily go to penalties, which it did. The big problem, I think, Barry, is that when Armagh were 4 up, now people now are going to throw that back to the big game and getting across the line all that. But Barry, every team that goes on the 3 or 4 point lead now in modern football sits on it a bit. Now you might say, why don't you do it? No team really does go for it. But are we mixing those two things? Was it always going to be a thing where Donegal would come back into that match? And now we're looking at a team, has Armagh an issue? As Cahar's just said there, they did very little in the game. You know, they played some great football and probably over the course of it, maybe played the better football.
Yeah, I think, Brendan, it was a combination of both. I do think Jim made a number of changes, and I think Geezer, in one of his post-match interviews, talked about Donegal were obviously going to hit a purple patch, which they did. And, you know, Niall O'Donnell kicked a worldly from out the right. Another day that goes wide, you know, Armagh might get over the line. But I think Donegal did improve, certainly the last 12, 15 minutes. But Armagh, I don't think Armagh particularly set back. They seem to be that nervousness, you know, the time Jarley O got the ball and won a mark and then kicked the ball back, you know, that was a poor decision. I'm not saying take the shot for the mark. Charlie Oak should have won the ball and went on further forward and tried to slip a pass or buy a free. There was another one, Tiernan Kelly at the very end, was only in for 1 minute, has played very little football this year, hadn't kicked the football for an hour and a half. You know, I don't know when his last involvement in the warm-up was, say, 3:30, and then that was at whatever time that was in the game, close to 5:30. You know, that was a poor decision from him to take that. Again, he should have won the mark and went on further forward, tried to get the shot away or buy a free kick or lay it off to somebody. So there was another one, Paddy Burns, poor fist pass to Kieran Macken under the stand. You know, Macken should have still gathered the ball up. Ryan McHugh got around him, turned the ball over. Like, that's not sitting back. That's just poor skill execution when the game's in the melting pot. And look, you know, it's going to be harsh on those lads today, but when they sit and look at that video and the management look at that video, they never scored for the last 21 minutes of an Ulster final. So you can say hard luck and the rub of the green, but, you know, there's not many teams win Ulster finals and not scoring the last 21 minutes of a game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right, and just on that, picking up Barry's point on Kelly and that last kick, I mean, you know, from a Donegal's perspective, you're like, oh, what would you have done there, Kerr? I mean, I know and I agree with Barry not having kicked the ball in it, but he has his ball in his hands. He has what is a very kickable point, and Armagh won Ulster. I mean, I'm thinking to myself then, do you not take it on? I mean, people were saying, Charlie Oakes, should he? I mean, he can put the ball over the bar. Right? He's got a decent strike in him. Should he have taken that on as well? I mean, Armagh were profiting so much on marks, and this mark thing, I mean, it was a wee dab pass across, and you're like, you're getting a free shot. I mean, Donegal never seemed to be able to conjure it up at all. The marks could have very easily won the game for Armagh. And just on that, Kelly, what would you think be in that car? Should he... You know, to me, if it was me, I would have taken a shot, but I appreciate what Barry's saying about him, you know, not having played a lot this year and maybe being, you know, not being ready for that strike.
I think it was his first kick of the ball in the entire game after he'd come on. It's funny, on the other two, I was just watching the video back this morning, and in fairness, I think they did right to turn the two of them away in terms of not having the shot, Jared Ogle and Soupy, because Charlie Oak was going to ground as he collected the ball. Like, there were five Donegal men kind of in a ring around him. He didn't really have anywhere to go. And Charlie Oak's not a shooter. He's not a kicker from you know, what's effectively 50 metres with the angle. Like, Tiernan Kelly's mark was from pretty much the same position as Stephen Campbell's. And the thing I would say, like, you're down into the real sort of nuance of what was going on at that stage, but it annoyed both teams at the time, and it was in the ground. You could tell that was 2 minutes into stoppage time. The fourth official hadn't put the board up. You know, you get to the point where you're working, trying to work a shot, and you don't actually know how much time you have left to take a shot. And I would say, Tiernan Kelly, there was more of the fear that we're going to run out of time here. Nobody has put up a board to tell us how long we have. And then they put up the board with 3 minutes on it, and we were already 2.5 played. Donegal then didn't get the time to work their last attack the way they would have liked, and they were raging coming off then. So, like, there's just so many
the fourth official, whoever does that, was saying that there were so many subs coming on that she couldn't get to it. I don't know, I've never seen that before, Kiara. It's not as big a mess up because Donegal had possession and they ultimately won the game, but if they hadn't, they could look to that and say, listen, that was our chance and it was blown up by an error on the line.
I don't accept that, because just look, like, Tiernan Kelly coming on in the 70th minute was the only sub in the last, from the 67th minute on. Like, so, you know, that
was the reason was thrown back at us, good man, Kerry.
Yeah.
That straight away. You've eyes on it all, that.
that doesn't wash for me. Like, and I do think it definitely affected those last couple of minutes, because genuinely, everybody knew it was in stoppage time. Nobody knew how much stoppage time there was. And we've seen teams in the very recent past, like, play that ball about and not get the shot off. We saw Mayo last week, to be fair. Killian O'Connor did the right thing, and that nobody else was taking it on. I might as well have a go with this, because he's going to blow the final whistle anyway. Somebody has to have a shot. And I think there was a bit of that in Tiernan Kelly having to go at it. Like, 9 times out of 10, maybe a cold player that's not a big shooter probably maybe doesn't take that on. And the other two, I'd have felt Armagh did the right thing in recycling both Jarley Ogg and Stephen Campbell. Neither of them was really a good shot. And they, you know, at the end of the day, Armagh got criticised last year for taking the shot. Rory Grugan, it was just outside his range. He actually did an interview with Brenton Cross in the newspaper over the winter, and he pretty much, he said himself, like, he kind of knew it was of the very, very edge of his range, and he thought he'd better have a go anyway. But then they get criticised for having the shot that day because it was outside. And on this occasion, then they get criticised for not having the shot. When I look at it now, I think the two occasions, the three occasions, probably were all outside.
Yeah, yeah. Barry, just on that, the changes, Donegal switched McColl on to Turbot, Gallen and Burns. Do you think, you know, in that first half, was it a question of, when you look back at it from an Armagh perspective, Gallen was the man that took the game to Armagh? Now, some of his points were phenomenal, but do you think, was there any kind of switch you would have seen there in terms of identifying the danger? Because if you take his performance out of that first half, you're probably going in with a bit of a cushion at halftime.
Yeah, Brenton, he was phenomenal. Having watched him the last couple of years in club football up here in Donegal, I knew you, Daphne's Lopper. He was, Paddy Burns, I watched the game back last night, and Paddy Burns meant to be man marking him, and he was just a yard off. You can't give top quality players that are two-footed. Like, Gallen is so elusive. You know, he's quick off the mark, but he's so agile going left and right, and he only needs a yard of space. You need to be so aggressive, so touch tight with him, and not give him room to breathe. You know, maybe give the odd foul away, but you can't give him the space we give him. Maybe Aaron McKay at full back, who's not a bad man marker, might have been an option to switch on him. Now, I don't know what happened, Gallen. He never really got into the game in the second half, but he obviously came off. I don't know, was it cramp or had he a calf issue? But he certainly didn't seem to be moving as well in the second half as he was in the first. But I would agree with you. I think Cahir made the point there too. I think at half-time was 10-9. Armagh probably should have been 3, maybe 4 points up for the play they had. And Donegal, fair play to them, hung in there and got a few nice scores. But over the balance of play, probably Armagh, as well as the last 20 minutes of the game not scoring, they probably should have been at least 3 up at half-time.
Yeah, certainly. And Cara, just going back to, you know, I think that the Armagh management team are really good. I like their game plan. As I say here, they were defensively, they were dispossessing Donegal. They were breaking in and they had a kick pass option up the pitch. Donegal were basically working through the hands every time. They were clinging on a wee bit. Back then in that second half, and that wee bit of mantra of Jim, and just, you know, that's 5 Ulster championships now, 1 defeat in a final. I mean, it's a savage record. Does that start to get into play when we get down with 10 minutes to go, and when Donegal's 4 points down? Does those things start to kick in a small bit then around, you know, this is a different Donegal this year, Jim's on the line?
I think for the players, they probably feel that, you know, there's obviously Paddy McBrady referenced from the podium yesterday how they were at an all-time low last year and pretty much begged Jim to come back. And the biggest thing, you would know better than we would, look, but one of the biggest things that McGuinness does is instill that belief. And yeah, I was writing in the report this morning, like the story of, you know, Brian McGuinness in the 1972 All-Ireland semi-final, and one of his teammates turned around and said to the goalkeeper, "You'll do well to keep the goals out today." And McGuinness, he says, "I had the door an effing kick." Says there were no goals, and he says he always struggled with instilling belief in Donegal people and Donegal teams, and they always lacked that wee bit. And I know me and you talked about this wee bit last week too, but it was something that was kind of there. And McGuinness's teams have never lacked for that. They believed from very early on that they had plans laid for Derry and that they were going to beat Derry, and they executed those. And they've believed from probably very early on then that they're going to win an Ulster title. And like, belief, you can't fake it. It's one of those things, you can't fake it. Like, when it really comes down to it, if you don't really believe, then you will crumble because it'll come out of you. But Donegal clearly had the work done. They knew they had the work done, and they knew they were good enough. And I think we have seen that in their recovery from 4 down yesterday, even to get the last couple of points in extra time as well, and to get at the penalties from a bad, you know, from a bad position both times. And it is becoming a really good trait of that Donegal team. They're finding ways to not get beat. to just stay there for long enough that the chips are falling in their favour on a couple of occasions. Like, and that's been enough to get them over the line. Performance-wise, you know, on down the line in All-Ireland quarterfinals and semifinals and finals, the performances in the last two games won't be good enough. They will undoubtedly have to improve. But they're learning and they're going on and they're just chipping their way through. And that was a big one yesterday. And Armagh, like belief, I don't know if it was a belief thing with Armagh, but maybe there is something deep in their psyche there. I noticed it at the time, and I went back and watched the video yesterday, and I think it was right, like, but there was an attack when they were 15-12 up, and Andy Murnan was out on his own on the kick out on top of Ryan McHugh, and Blaine Hughes spotted him and kicked it out. It was a complete mismatch, and Murnan flicked the ball down for Kieran Mackin, and they went up the line, and Greg McCabe was inside. And when Greg McCabe got turned over in the corner flag, Kieran Mackin was the only player within 30 yards of him. And it just, I thought it exactly as it happened, sitting on the ground. I thought, why are Armagh not up in support of that? Why have they so many men so far behind the ball that they can't even recycle it to them? They're 60 yards away. And I just felt at that point that, have they settled a wee bit here? We're four up. We're going to try and contain this, suck them out. And what they did was invite Donegal's press. And they weren't supporting. There wasn't enough support play to beat the press. The one that Barry referenced there of Kieran Mackin fumbling the ball and getting turned over. Kieran Mackin was so totally isolated on that incident that he didn't really have anywhere to go. He was all he was looking for there was a free from the referee, because there was nothing else for him. He couldn't get out. And I just felt that Armagh just fell into that trap a wee bit of not going and taking it when it was sitting there for them.
Yeah, it's tough stuff, Barry. Just finally, listen, you just got to dust yourself down, Barry. There's an All-Ireland series coming. Very difficult game, of course, away to Derry. Tell me, Barry, if now this Armagh team can get over this heartbreak, get into this series, get back to a big day in Croke Park, let's say they made it to a quarter final, there still could be something, you know, in this season. They're back into Division 1. Listen, there's nothing they can do about it, Barry. Now, they just got to dust themselves down, take what positives they can in terms of a lot of good play that they did. And, you know, it was bloody penalties. You know, there was nothing in it. You know, and try and, you know, I suppose, get those good points into their game and see if they can get back to a big day in the likes of a quarter, maybe a semi. You know, that would be, I suppose, the game plan from here.
Yeah, it'll be tough. It'll be tough, Brendan. Before I come on to that, you were talking about Jim there. You know, obviously, the job he's done, his record in Ulster is absolutely phenomenal. One defeat in a final, four titles in five seasons. And look, yesterday's title was probably the greatest of the lot. You know, I know when he first took over, the job he did in the first couple of years winning Ulster and then the All-Ireland with where Donegal were coming from. But like, you have to recognise, Brendan, he had Michael Murphy, Ciarán Lacy, Neil McGee, Colin McFadden, you know, generational type footballers. I'm not saying Donegal have plenty of good footballers, very good footballers, but it'd be fair to say that they don't have anywhere near the quality that he had in his first term. And to come back from whatever they were beating, 9-10 points for Tyrone, probably 10 or 11 of those lads were in the field last year in Ballybuffet, and he's turned that around in a year to win an Ulster title. I think it's an unbelievable achievement, and whatever he has, whatever magic dust he sprinkles, he just has something about him. And as you know yourself, I managed Paddy McGrady for the last couple of years, and I know Paddy was on at him since the Tyrone defeat for 2 months constant to take on the job, and they finally got him over the line. So look, that's been vindicated. Like, what a job he has done. But back to Armagh, it's very difficult, Brenton. Look, I think, you know, let's call a spade. I don't think anybody expects Armagh to win an All-Ireland. You know, getting a good run and maybe getting to an All-Ireland semi-final is probably the maximum we could achieve. But, you know, at the end of the day, as a footballer, you play to win silverware. And I think they wouldn't have come out and said it. But there are a lot of lads in the twilight of their career, I think they really, really set their stall out to win the Anglo-Celt this year. And I don't know how hard that'll be to lift themselves. I know myself, if you were putting those shoes, it'd be very, very difficult. I know the management team, they're back out tomorrow night. They'll do their best. They're at home to Westmeath, and at this stage, it's about getting the bodies right. Maybe a couple of tweaks to the team and get a 1-point victory against Westmeath to get the show on the road again, because it's going to be very, very difficult to lift things. But then, look, if they can beat Westmeath, then they're way out of Derry. Celtic Park, going to be a full house. So you know, another big, big game. But the next couple of weeks, they're going to have to lick their wounds, whatever, last night and today in the pub or wherever they are, and get back at it tomorrow night. But it's going to take, it could take a few days or weeks maybe to get over this. The focus just has to be to get a 1-point victory against Westmeath to try and get the show on the road again.
Yeah, it feels like a big one to get over. But listen, things can turn, seasons can turn, and there's still a serious amount of quality there. Lads, the two of you have been quality. Thank you so much for your input to the DL debate.
Not a bother.